Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White.
Good morning, Richard. Kevin.
Well, we're going to dive into a question, and here it is. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus uses the illustration of the birds to tell us not to worry. He's talking mostly about our physical needs. There's so much I worry about these days that goes beyond this. The world is such a troubled place. I and everyone I know is experiencing something serious and difficult. I would be glad for anything you can point me to that speaks more about this issue of worry.
Wow. Okay, we need to probably do a sermon series here in our podcast. This is a great question and so appropriate for our times. We consider the world around us, political climate of the U.S.
And so maybe we should start with that passage, Matthew 6:26.
Let me go ahead. I think this is good to read. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. I saw the birds in the yard this morning. They weren't out there fretting, huddling up saying, what are we going to eat? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither spin nor toil. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Then he adds, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I don't think this means don't plan for tomorrow, but I think Jesus is speaking to our obviously, our anxiety and running after things, just even the basic necessities. And, obviously we want to apply this to, okay, well, what about, the political landscape and, terrorism in the world and the economy and all those things. But first of all, when you think about worry, worry is, it all has to do where we set our focus. And when we focus on this world, we tend to think of the world as much larger than anything else. It's overwhelming. And we lose sight of God himself, who is seated on a throne. And so worry, when we worry, we're underwhelmed with God. I mean, that's really at the heart of worry. We're underwhelmed with God. And I don't think that means we should go beat ourselves up and repent and sackcloth and ash. But I think we've got to realize, wow, I've got a small view of God here that I've got to somehow change things around. I've used the illustration of turning a molehill into a mountain. And the way you turn a molehill into a mountain is you stick your face right down on the ground and your eye level with that little molehill. It's all you can see. Well, yeah, when you're prostrate on the ground, in front of a little molehill, if that's all you see, yeah, it is. It's going to be consuming to you. Mm-hmm. But stand up, lift your eyes, and that's what we as Christians need to do: stand up, see that God is bigger, put perspective into play with God on a throne, and these things going on in my life, they are under his control. And they may not be under my control, but they are under his control. And, so here's a couple things. Just in this passage, when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, why seek the kingdom of God? And notice it's first seek the kingdom of God. First don't worry about those problems. First don't worry about the economy. First don't worry about the political landscape. First don't worry about what you're going to wear today. First seek the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God rules over the kingdom of man. Mm. It's as simple as that. God's kingdom rules. And so I want to get my eyes, my focus, I need to shift it to my true king, in the Lord over my day and circumstances. And then obviously seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is what does please God for me, how I respond, how I live my life today. But I want to illustrate this. I want to shift to a story in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah 7 and 8. Isaiah 7 begins with Isaiah talking to the king of Judah. His name is Ahaz, not Ahab of the northern kingdom, but Ahaz, who's a king of Judah. And Ahaz is really worried because the northern kingdom, Israel, has buddied up with another kingdom, Syria. And those two kingdoms are threatening to come down and ransack Judah. And so Ahaz and his officials are trembling like leaves. They're terrified, and they're wondering, what do we do? And Isaiah comes along, and he says, and this is Isaiah 7, verse 3. Okay, now we're talking about political intrigue, threat of the economy and of life. I mean, these are the big things. And, these people are going to invade us. You know, why wouldn't we be worried? Mm-hmm. And so Isaiah comes down and he says, Isaiah 7, verse 4, say to him, say to Ahaz, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. You know, basically, don't worry because of these two smoldering stumps of firewood. I love that. And he's referring to the stumps of firewood being, the king of Israel and the king of Syria. At the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah have devised evil against you, saying, let's go up against Judah and terrify it. Let us conquer it for ourselves. And he goes on to say, look, it's not going to happen. And he tells them, stand firm in your faith. This is down to verse 9. And if you're not firm, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you'll not be firm at all. So he's telling Ahaz, get your focus off those two. To the north of you, get your focus on God and rely on him. And then he says, now, how do we do that? What does it mean getting our focus realigned on God? Well, he says, verse 10, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign from the Lord. Pray, ask the Lord, pour out your fears, ask the Lord for what you need. And he says, ask for a sign. And Ahaz goes on and says, I will not ask. I won't put the Lord to the test. You know, what a jerk, what an idiot, mm-hmm. Just this pious unbeliever. I could not put the Lord to the test. No, prayer is God valuing us more than the birds of the field, so to speak, from Matthew. Prayer is we get to talk with the king who's seated on a throne. We get to talk with the Lord of history, the Lord of my personal history, and the Lord of my day, and I may come into his throne room and I may ask. And so part of, I think, realigning, our eyes on the Lord rather than being so overwhelmed by our fears is we pray. We ask, Lord, I'm afraid here. But it's also recognizing getting him up, so to speak, praising him, honoring him. And that's really the second thing I want to look at here. But, We need to learn to pray and not just, Lord bless me prayers, but Lord, I am struggling with fear here. What is at the root of that? What are the two kings, so to speak, who are coming against me that I'm making way too much of? Mm-hmm. And I'm underwhelmed with you. That's the kind of conversation we need to have before God and with our own soul. So we pray, we ask the Lord, would you show me my heart? What am I looking at? And what do I need to begin looking at? And so prayer, God gives us this. It's so wonderful of him. Prayer doesn't, Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious for anything. Actually, I love this. I'll start with Philippians 4:4. Let us rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. What a great truth of Scripture. The Lord is at hand. No matter what I'm going through, God is here. He's in this. And then, so verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's like God puts a sentry in your heart that brings peace. Now, this verse doesn't say, and God doesn't promise, that all the problems are going to go away. No, there may be really overwhelming things that crush our lives. Mm-hmm. But what God says is you won't be crushed by you. There will be a peace in you. So God may not remove the circumstance, but he will make us strong in it. He will establish his peace in us so that we can endure it and endure it by looking at him, seeing him in the midst of these things. So prayer is really, really important. But there's something else in prayer or in addition to prayer, we lay alongside of it. I think we get there by prayer as well. What happens back in Isaiah is Ahaz, he refuses to turn to the Lord. He refuses to pray and seek the Lord. And so what he does is he goes into political intrigue. And there's another kingdom to the north, and that is the kingdom of Assyria. So you have Israel, Syria, and Assyria. So he goes to the king of Assyria and says, hey, would you help me? And he pays him money and says, go attack these two nations and get them off my back. Well, the king of Assyria does, and then comes down and sacks Judah. And, he turns the table on him. Well, at this point, Ahaz is kind of wheeling and dealing and trying to figure out what to do. And tremendous political intrigue. We think our voting season is tense. It was really tense in Jerusalem at that point. So the Lord speaks a word to Isaiah, and he says in chapter 8, verse 11, thus the Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me. I'm not sure what that means, but there's a strong impression that, it's like, we might grab somebody by the shoulders and look them right in the eyes. I mean, that's a strong hand on us. It's almost as if the Lord does that. It says, and he warned me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. I think that's a great word, maybe for us right now in America. Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. But the Lord of hosts, him shall you honor as holy. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread, and he will become a sanctuary. And a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling. And, stumbling stone is for the people trying to break into your house. So basically, he'll be a defense for you, Isaiah. But he'll become a sanctuary. That's a place of peace and safety. And it's something he has to seek. The Lord of hosts, him shall you honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. There had to be a shift in Isaiah's heart that I'm not going to listen to the conspiracy theories. I'm not going to worry and fret about what everybody else is worrying and fretting about. I'm going to make much of God in the midst of this. And I'm going to trust him that he is sovereign. And this whole thing, episode here in Isaiah begins in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah sees the Lord on a throne high and lifted up. In other words, God's throne is lifted up above the thrones of men. And that's the perspective throughout the book of Isaiah. And what I think God is calling Isaiah here, get your eyes on my throne and you fear me. Now, to fear means to honor, to love, to respect, to trust. It's not a cringing in terror. It just means, get me up. Get me up. Get me up in your vision. Get me up in your heart. My throne, my purposes, that I am sovereign. And I think that's, the word for us maybe as we battle fear. We pray, we bring our fears to the Lord. We tell him, hey, here's what I'm facing. But then we kind of get him up. We exalt him. We fear and love and respect him more. And my encouragement
the person asking this question is that this does not happen automatically. We don't wake up automatically fearing God and with this high exalted view of God. I mean, when he says, let him be, your fear, your dread. This is the discipline of the soul that we've got to engage in. And so, yeah, we got to take time out, carve time out to pray, to exalt the Lord, to honor him, to, in a sense, get him up over our day and realize, Lord, you are sovereign over my agenda here. You're sovereign over these things, my family's facing. You're sovereign over our nation. And I want to trust you in the heart of this, even as I have to go through this. And so we pray and we exalt the Lord. I think that's the antidote to worry. It's absolutely getting God at the heart, our heart and the heart of whatever we're facing. Mm. And again, doesn't happen automatically. We've got to go there and exalt the Lord like this.
You know, as you're saying this, part of what occurs to me is that everything that we've talked about so far are conflicts, problems, issues that are outside of us, things that are outside of our control. But something that a lot of Christians struggle with that also seems out of control is themselves. It's like I'm worried about myself. What am I going to do? Am I going to blow it somehow, somewhere along the line? But that falls in the same category, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I think, the fears of, and boy, we all live there, here I am, I'm a pastor, I'm supposed to be this holy man, but man, I feel like I'm on the bottom rung of the ladder at times. I mean, with what I fear and things I wrestle with too. And, what if I blow it? And, one of the things that we're talking about in our small groups, in the gospel-centered life, we have had good conversation about the place we live before God. And a lot of Christians live in the courthouse. We live as if God's a judge on the bench, and at any moment he's going to smack the gavel and say, done with you. You're worthless and out of my presence. And or we live, fearing though, I've got to do something. I got to say something. I've got to make some kind of case before God today so that he will love me more and really bless my life. And of course, with the gospel, we're moved out of the courthouse. Mm-hmm. We no longer live in a courthouse. We're not in witness protection plan. We're not in, the waiting room, the jury deliberation room. We're not anywhere near the courthouse. We're in God's living room. Our Father brings us into his house. We are in his living room. We are his sons. We are his daughters. We are going to inherit with Jesus everything that the Father is going to give Jesus. Mm. Now, the Father may discipline us, but it's as his children that he will never abandon, never dismiss, never kick out of his house. That's where we get to live. And so I think part of dealing with our own anxieties about ourselves is we have to get to that sense of identity. Who am I really before God? Mm. I'm not an orphan. I'm not a convict. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. And the love of God can never be removed from my life because of Jesus. And again, that's not something that naturally we wake up thinking. We've got to claim our identity. And in a way, that's kind of working at your salvation with fear and trembling, working to remember who I am, who God has made me to be through Jesus. And so when I see myself as a son and I blow it, yeah, Lord, I've sinned against grace. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. But I can claim that forgiveness. I can thank the Father that he is patient. He is working. He's not gonna boot me out, to the courthouse with you. No, he's never gonna send me back there. Jesus satisfied the justice of God. And so I'm in the Father's living room, and you know, he may discipline, but he'll do it because he loves me, and he's never going to kick me out of that that living room of his grace and love. So yeah, living, you know, the anxiety that we have for ourselves, I think we got to live out of our identity that is ours in Jesus.
Yeah, well said. This is good for us to pray about.
Yeah.
Will you pray for us?
Let's do. Our Father, you've given us the freedom to walk before your throne of grace, to come boldly at any time. And so along with that, Lord, we are free from fear and having to believe the conspiracy theories of our own hearts and, Lord, the theories and the worries and anxieties of our culture. And, Lord, we don't have to live there. We may live before a throne of grace and as children whom you deeply love. Thank you that we may cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, thank you that you care for our children. Thank you that you care for our jobs. Thank you that you do care for our nation as well. And Lord, you are seated on a throne and you are a God of grace and mercy. And so may we learn to pour out our heartaches and our fears. And Lord, may we truly seek your kingdom first, praying and exalting you, Lord, living to be righteous people that you've made us to be in Jesus. So Lord, bless my brothers and sisters today in homes and jobs. Oh, that they may have a high and exalted view of you, your throne, ruling over their home, ruling over their living situation, ruling over their job, their school. And be exalted, Lord, in your people. And would you do as your word says? Would you establish peace in the hearts of your people who seek you and who honor you? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.